Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning Live Dharma. And we're hopefully going to have some music. Let me see. We wanted to try to download a medley of Buddhist gathas that would automatically come on at the beginning, but as you know, this is a work in progress. Jio Sayo-san, I unmuted you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Was music, Adrian said that, do I have to do anything for the music?
No, I had it set up, but I can go ahead and play it, if you like.
Okay.
Yeah, it should have started automatically, but I guess it didn't. For some reason, it didn't do that, but I'll go ahead and play it if you like now. It's about 3 minutes long.
Okay, thank you. Well, thank you very much. So nice to start out with music to set the mood. It said that music washes away the dust of the daily routine. Well, for today's talk story, I want to use it as a way to introduce our guest, Dharma Glimpser. When I was a young boy, and our grandparents were living with us, my grandfather taught me how to give a Japanese style massage. He knew all these different techniques, and I was about 10 or 12, and of course he who doesn't like a massage? So he taught me how to do things, and I would give him a massage every day, and I retained these techniques down through the years. Many times when our families had reunions, get-togethers, I loved to receive and give massages. And I think massage has moved from being sort of perceived as self-indulgent to something that's, you know, preventive medicine, and relieves stress, improves your circulation, and over the years I've picked up different techniques from other people and sort of made a composite of different things that I like, techniques that I like. And then I learned that in the Buddhist tradition, when ministers used to travel, in Japan to different towns, and they would give guest Dharma talks, and as part of the hospitality, the local masseur would give the guest sensei massage. And since the masseur would do this for all the traveling senseis, he couldn't help but imbibe some of the Dharma teachings. See? Hearing these guest Dharma talks and being around the guest senseis. And so a tradition developed where the masseur became a very spiritual person as he's given the massage. And this is a way in which then he would start to make utterances about the Dharma as he's given the massage. And that's a unique combination where you're relaxing the person, he's in a much more receptive mood, and you're receiving a nice teaching, and your shoulders are getting massaged, and it's like the Dharma talks going right into your body. This is the beauty of body-oriented systems. You know, it's direct. It's direct. And that's how we should receive the Dharma teachings, right through the pores of our skin and into our muscles and to be circulated all over the body. Okay. And as a way of introduction, today's guest giving the Dharma glimpse is Christine Kubose, one of the Venerable Gyomei M. Kubose's grandchildren. She lives in Southern California, and she has founded Outback. She's a physical therapist, and she too, at family gatherings, would work on family members, their posture. She would be able to use therapeutic massage to loosen up any trigger points or any knots. And she has her fingers are very educated. She says, yep, here's this spot. Yep. And gently knows how to release those things.
What do you need that for this week?
And somebody, okay, I don't know who's on mute there. I could hear somebody. I don't see it. You might want to, I don't know how you mute yourself. Somebody is unmuted. I don't see it on the switchboard. But you have to be careful. Someone, I could hear somebody. Okay, so without any further ado, Christine? Christine, are you there? Something might have happened. Let's see. Christine, are you there? I know she was there when we started the program. This is what you call a Dharma technical glitch. I'm going to unmute Gio Sayo-san. Do you know what might have happened?
Do you recognize any of the numbers on the switchboard as being the
Yes, I know who it is. I do, and I have her unmuted.
Okay.
And I was talking to her before the program, so.
Okay. We can try to unmute all the lines just in case to see if maybe she dialed in a different number or something else.
I talked to her before the show.
It looks like line nine, just put their hand up. Could that be
okay.
That?
I don't think so. That's somebody else, but I'm going to unmute nine.
Hello.
Oh.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
There she
hey.
Is. Okay.
Okay. I dialed in on another phone, so I'm going to hang up that one.
Okay. Great. I'm hearing somebody whispering. I don't know. Christine? You know, I don't know why your other line is not connected. You might have to call in again on that number.
Did it? Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Should I start all over?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So, hello, everybody, again. My Dharma glimpse is on completeness. Now, last week, my daughter was sick, and I wanted to keep her in her room. Wanted to watch a DVD. So I had to get my old laptop. And a diploma in a protected cardboard envelope on top of it. I had to take everything out. I was thinking about the effort. Now, wouldn't it be easier if the papers were under the computer? So next time I needed it, I wouldn't have to move all this stuff. When she was done with the movie, I went back to put everything back on in the cabinet and was about to put the papers in first and the computer on top. Then I thought about the effect that would have. The book pages might bend, the diploma might get ruined, so I completed the task by putting it back the way I found it. Now this got me thinking, what we do on a daily basis needs to be complete. And if it's not complete, or we become aware that it's not complete, I need to make it complete because it may affect another person or people. So my Dharma glimpse is sharing with you my aha on how we affect other people by our actions and how to come full circle. So if we don't complete a task, we end up with what I call developed traffic. And that's something I read about in a book. Developed traffic is when we do something that causes another person unnecessary work or slows down what they want to do. For example, if I don't return the scissors where they should be, and it takes the person who needs it 5 minutes to find it, I have caused developed traffic. Or if my daughter forgets to have me sign a permission slip that's due that day right when I drop her off school, I have to fill it out right then, find the insurance card information, and write a check to pay for the fee, and then potentially be late for work. She has caused developed traffic. So in essence, the action of not being complete has caused a traffic jam or an unnecessary slowdown. So after thinking about it and talking it out with a friend of mine, I realized that not fully completing a task can be looked at in three different ways. So one is an awareness that you did not complete something. So an example might be, okay, my daughter doesn't rinse the sink after she rinses her cereal bowl in the morning, and the shredded wheat sits there all day and dries up. So this incompleteness affects either she or I, most likely. I will make her clean it. I'll have to take 3 minutes to scrape it off. If the task was completed in the first place, would have taken perhaps 10 seconds. Another example is one time I didn't return the stapler at work to where it always was, and the next person who needed it took several minutes to try and find it. Or let's say I don't close the cabinet door all the way, and the next person bangs their knee on it. So I have caused developed traffic by not completing the task. The second way to look at not completing a task is that you completed your action, but you were not aware that something was not completed. You thought it was fully complete. So for example, one time a physical therapist of ours changed the 5-gallon water jug. He replaced the empty one with the full one on the dispenser. He completed the task. However, he did not know he had to keep the cap. So we had to purchase a new one. Now the water bottle was an older model, so the new cap didn't fit correctly, and the water spills. Another example was my front desk took an important message from my CPA, tacked it up on the board, and for some reason, it got knocked off or fell off. I didn't get the message that was time sensitive. Now she completed the task. I didn't get the message, so that complete now became incomplete. Now, the third way where the task was complete, it was completed, however, the other person made an error, which made it incomplete. So, for example, one time I told my patient, oh, I'll fax you your home exercise program, which I did. Now, the patient never received it, so she called me back to have me refax it. It turns out her coworker forgot to give it to her. Or a patient of ours comes in on the wrong day for their appointment. They take out the card and realize, oh, they read it incorrectly. So our front desk had completed the task, but the patient had made a mistake. So now the question is, what can I do when confronted with these three types of scenarios where I have affected someone else, whether I'm aware of it or not? So I realize that the simple words, I am sorry, is one way I can complete the incompleteness. So what's the kitchen sink? My daughter might say, well, I was in a hurry, and you told me to hurry and get my shoes on to leave for school, and I was going to do it later, versus, Oh, I'm sorry, let me clean it up. See, it's easier to make an excuse and become defensive rather than take the responsibility. So with me not returning the stapler, a simple sorry would complete the incomplete versus, oh, I got really busy, oh, I had a lot of work to do, I had patience. With the water jug, the therapist could get defensive and say, well, I didn't know, you didn't tell me. Well, you just buy another one. Versus, oh, I'm sorry, I'll make sure not to throw them away next time. And me not getting the message from the CPA, now the front desk can apologize, I'm sorry you didn't get it. Maybe I can make sure it's tacked more securely next time. It wasn't her fault, but she took ownership that she was involved in the scenario. Now, with the patient not getting the facts, I completed the task saying, oh, I'm sorry you didn't receive it. I'll refax it. As for the patient who came in on the wrong day, how nice it was for the front desk to say, oh, I'm sorry you had to drive all the way here, even though it wasn't her fault that the patient got the wrong day, but she completed the incomplete. So if we can be aware as possible to complete tasks and think about its effects on each person involved or the next person involved, we can avoid developed traffic. And if we do cause a jam, whether we think it's our fault or not, then we can apologize. We can defend and make excuses because our perspectives are different from others, but it doesn't mean that we should not apologize and complete the incompleteness. Because maybe cleaning the sink is not important to my daughter. Or maybe throwing the cat is no big deal. They're only a dollar to buy. Well, maybe it is or maybe it isn't. But it may be important to me. Or maybe it's not my error that my patient didn't receive the facts. But I'm involved, so I can still apologize for the incompleteness. So I realized that I need to take ownership to the cause of what I did or didn't do, how it affects other people, directly or indirectly, put myself in the other person's shoes of how it affected them, respect their thoughts, and apologize. It's never really about blaming. It's about expressing my feelings of how perhaps my incompleteness, intentional or not, affects others. So I'm being more aware of completing my actions because they can affect someone else. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Christine.
And then I'm wondering when I get my massage.
You got it. Okay. Yeah, really, we really appreciate the guest Dharma glimpses. They're so refreshing. Different perspectives coming out of people's lives and their precious things. And remember, completeness is something that every one of us can relate to in a lot of our everyday activities. Thank you very much. Well, to complete our show today, I'd like to talk just real quickly about Nirvana Day. Since February in the Mahayana Buddhist tradition, the three major religious observances, Buddha's birth, enlightenment, and passing away, are celebrated separately, and traditionally middle of February is when the Buddha's passing away is observed. And when a great person passes away, you want to label it kind of special. You know, you don't want to just say, oh, this is the day he died. So they call it Mahaparinirvana, the great passing away. You know, this is when the Buddha passed into Nirvana, instead of just saying, oh, this is the day that the Buddha died. Anyway, from a Buddhist teaching perspective, this kind of a religious observance is not just an external historical event that's observed in honor of a great teacher. It has to be, you have to personalize it. It has to be a great teaching for every individual when he commemorates that occasion. So in other words, you know, when the Buddha being such the great teacher that he was, when it was obvious that he was going to pass away, he got sick and so forth, and all the disciples were saddened, and Ananda, his personal attendant, was beside himself. The Buddha calmed everybody down, and he essentially gave his last teaching. He used his own mortality as an occasion and a topic to give a teaching to everyone. And he says, you know, talking about dependent origination, he says, hey, everything that rises up or is born will go down, okay, and pass away. This is what I've been teaching you all the time. And there's no hidden teachings. Now, he was wise enough to know that some people might say, hey, you know, anything core, secret thing that you could give us now that, you know, it's this crucial moment. He says, no, I've never hid anything from you. Yeah. And he said, and don't be sad. You know, I may pass away my body and everything, but the Dharma's your teacher. The Dharma will be your teacher. You know, he didn't have to exalt himself or anything like that, his status. The Dharma's important. You know? And then, of course, he said the famous, be ye lamps unto yourself, be your own light. Work out your path diligently. You know, so he must have been able to inspire all his followers. So to personalize this, I had sort of an image in my mind that, you know, on Nirvana Day, how about if we visualize or imagine you're in a room with Gautama Buddha lying down, and you know he's passing his eminent, and he's giving a talk, just the two of you. And he's saying, giving his last teachings, as I just mentioned, these points. If you kind of imagine that scene, then you really receive a very impactful, emotional setting that you're in with this great teacher, and he's talking to you, okay, about a topic, death, individual mortality, something that everybody as a human beings can relate to. And he's giving a teaching that would really hit to the core of a person, you know, and a great example how to handle one's own mortality, okay, and how to do it right now, not later on, but how you use that as a teaching, you know, to face inevitability of this passing, one's own passing, okay? The importance of, no matter whether it's that individual mortality or any other crisis of life passages in one's life, any other crises, the message of, well, no matter all these things, all these incidents in life, the Dharma, you concentrate on the Dharma. Dharma will never let you down, because it's about the reality of life. You know, instead of, so it shifts your attention right away from your own emotional state to something that's eternal and true. And that's a very reassuring thing in the midst of any life troubles. And we all carry that potentiality of Buddha nature to realize this. The light is within us. We can do it. We don't have to rely on any other kinds of wishful thinking or other powers, the Buddha's head. Okay. So all of those last messages, boom, you know, is something that could really transform us. So that's my message on the impact of the Buddha's last teaching in the month of February, Nirvana Day. Thank you very much. I appreciate everyone's patience and understanding. We are still out working out our technical bugs. But I think that we have a great coming together. So nice to come together on Sunday morning like this for us. And we really appreciate everybody calling in and giving us your Dharma energy in listening. So let's, if you join me in putting our hands together in gratitude gusho. Thank you very much. Until next time. Bye-bye. I think everybody hung up. Yo, Sayo-san, you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, the only thing I didn't understand was, of all the callers, I think it was Thomas-san's voice that I heard whispering.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was with his to his child. But none of the... He should have been muted. There was no open mics.
So, who was on line one? I noticed there was a line one that was unmuted.
Yeah, that was Christine, the Dharma Glimpse presenter.
Oh, okay.
And so she apparently called on another phone, because that's the one I talked to her before the show. So I left that open, but then it wasn't working because I guess she called in on that 111 number.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to activate that.
Yeah, I noticed at one point, I think there were two lines that were unmuted, and what happens is I refreshed my page, and then I noticed that I think sometimes when we refresh the page, it'll show us, but I think there was a line that was unmuted, but I couldn't figure out which one, because I did hear the background noises and like a gentleman's voice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I'm not sure. I think there's somebody. I'm not sure, but there's a 585 number.
Yeah, I just
that's
unmuted.
Wendy.
That's Wendy.
Oh, okay.
And say okay.
Well, I wanted to say that I had a theory on that other one. I was wondering if Christine's husband had. There were two phones in that house on.
Yeah, for some reason she said, "No, I called in on the other phone," and then she said she was going to hang it up. Or I don't.
I'm thinking what happened was he was on. They were. Line and so that we were hearing the gentleman's voice. That's my guess because it sounded like I heard him say, "That's mommy speaking."
Yeah, I think you know what. I think you're right because I noticed that we had the line one was unmuted, and then when I had mentioned to Sensei that line nine seemed to be to put their hand up, I was like, "Wait, that might, when Sensei put unmuted line nine, both line nine and one were open."
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was guessing because sounded like the noises were from the same house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can hear the feedback. Uh-huh. You can hear Reverend Koyo, we could hear you kind of in the background as well. So it sounded like they were monitoring it as well. So that's where we kind of probably had that.
Okay, okay.
And then the music should – I had it set up so that once you had started the program, the music should have started. I'm not sure why it didn't. I'm going to look into that. It could also be the fact that the Sunday shows, like, for example, I'm going to, once we finish here, I'll go back and edit all this out so it'll just be the Dharma talk, and they don't have to hear the rest of our conversation. But I'm noticing that on the switchboard, all those files are also appearing. So every edit I've done shows up.
Oh, no.
And I picked this specific song to start. But I'm not sure if it actually took in. I noticed one thing with Blog Talk Radio is when you set something up, you have to give it at least 30 minutes for them, for the system to kind of, because I had uploaded the music yesterday, but there was it said that it didn't upload because the song was, originally the song was about 7 minutes long. And I think it taking too much space. So what I did was I kind of cut it down to 3 minutes and 45 seconds, and then that one it took. But I think I did that this morning about 20 minutes before the program. I think that I have to set it up well in advance so that way we don't have to go through that again, because it should automatically, the moment you log on and you hit broadcast, it should start playing. So you wouldn't even have to come on. The music will just come on by itself, and then once the music is done, then you can do your introduction. Okay. So
I notice in the files screen that the medley music is listed. And
right.
So if I have to, I could just hit the play icon and start it too as
a
backup.
That's simply it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a question.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
So volume is also there, by the way. If you need to lower or higher, you
just
lower the percentage.
Okay. Yeah, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dios, I had a question about the, you know how Blog Talk Radio player on the widget on the Bright Dawn Sangha site, you know, I think it's confusing for people when they get on what's actually playing, because if somebody comes on and clicks on the one that's there like a minute before, they're playing last week's Bright Dawn. Is there a way to distinguish each one of those file listings as to the date?
Yes, what I can try to do is give every Sunday a different, instead of just calling it Live Dharma Sunday, I can make every week specific with the date on it.
Yes, that would be good, because I've started thinking, because when I clicked on, right even at 11 o'clock, because I was both doing the phone and the Ning site, when I clicked on, I actually got last week's talk, because the third one hadn't popped on, and it was after 11, because I hadn't refreshed my screen. So anybody who gets on, sits and waits, and if they don't refresh their screen, it seems like that widget doesn't refresh.
Okay. I'll try to change that. The my worry was is that it said on Blog Talk that if you make any small changes to it, it might change the link. So I want to find a way to maybe call it, like, for example, this week the show name is Live Dharma Sunday, but I'm going to see if I can change it to Live Dharma Sunday and then put the date on it. So
that
way it'll show up without switching the link to it, so you wouldn't have to upload a new link to the Ning site every Sunday, you know? So
I think if you just a renaming function, if you can do that, that'd be great.
Yeah, and what we'll do is we'll see how it works on next Sunday. I'll have it so that it'll be for the 28th, and we'll see if it shows up on there. And if it does next Sunday, then we know that'll work. And if not, I can try to figure out another way to distinguish the different shows. Because the thing is, we have them set up as recurring. So the only way anything will change is if we physically go in. Like, for example, if I hadn't gone in and physically changed this week, it would still show up. Caroline Sensei is giving a Dharma talk. It takes the general information from that show saying, oh, you're recurring this specific show. So in their system, it says, oh, well, this is the recurring information for the show. So I have to go in weekly and change it to just the basic, what it says right now, join the Bright Dawn Sangha for Live Dharma Talk Sunday with Reverend Koyokobose and weekly guest speakers.
Okay. All right. That's good. Yeah, well, I'll try to play with it on the Ning site, too, and see if it's true that you have to refresh, because if that's true, that's kind of not so good.
I think that they, by just adding the date to the show name, I think that should, even if I have to do that on a weekly, every week, that's not a big problem to just put the date on the show title, so that way they know when they come onto the site that's what's playing. Because I came up with that, too. When I go to the Ning site, you have the different, all the different archive shows, but unless you really know, you don't know what date they are, or like we know that obviously the top one is the newest show, and that the lower one is the older show. But not every people are going to be like, oh, let's try to figure this out.
They're not going
to
be that no, because I did a lot of tweeting and Facebooking promoting this, and there I saw a lot of new people came on today, and I have a feeling they didn't quite maybe know what was going on.
Yeah,
try to make it.
And if anything, we could also add, I'm not sure if in the name tag, we can also, like, at the bottom of the player, put, like, a little asterisk, and, you know, if they don't see, I think it actually should say live. Once, if the broadcast is live, it actually, if, I think on the
it
player.
It doesn't say that on the player. And I tried to, I can't, in the Ning site, actually edit the widget area, but I'm going to try another thing, and we'll see what happens. And,
okay.
And to tell them that the first, you know, it's going to be hard to tell them about every little thing to do, but we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it basic. Well, we'll just put the date, and what I'll try to do is go back and, because I can go back and edit the older ones and put the dates
That's
on those.
Perfect. Yeah, if you edit the older ones, I think that helps immediately clarify, give a roadmap of how this works.
Okay. All right, I'll do that right now. I'll go back and go ahead and start just kind of the older ones switch. What I'm going to change is just the show name, and that should show up. It'll show up as Live Dharma Sunday, and then I'll just basically put like 02/14, for example, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that should help with the widget. Yeah, I keep thinking about the actual site. Like if they go to the actual site, there it shows the different shows and so forth and the dates, but like you said, most people are going to the Ning site, and it doesn't have all that information.
Yeah, because I really wanted to drive, I think that the key here is to drive traffic to the Ning site, which is going to be our platform, you know what I mean? Instead of driving traffic to the Blog Talk Radio site.
Right. You know, I can also do is I could, in the description, if you'd like, I could also put that, the link to the Bright Dong Ning site. And make that the like the site. For, I mean, if it's okay with.
Oh, I think
guys.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
mm-hmm,
I think. What do you think, Reverend
yeah,
Cryo? Is that,
yeah,
I think that's
yeah.
a good idea.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Let me check here. I think in the actual page for the host, I think the website I put was the basic Bright Dawn. Yeah, the profile has brightdawn.org. And
yeah, I changed that on the Facebook site to make the Ning site first and then the .org site because the Ning site is where all
mm-hmm.
the action is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay well, I'll switch that over and then I'll have, or yeah, I'll put the Ning site, so like you said, bring the traffic over there, and I'll also put it on the Blog Talk Radio also, that there's a chat if anybody would like to also, you know, during Sundays, if they'd like to also comment and so forth, to redirect them over there.
That's awesome. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay.
not hard. That's simple. I can do that right now.
Okay. The other thing is now, if I instruct the person giving the Dharma glimpse, just as general information, standard information, that if somebody else in the household is listening in on an extension or another phone, now I don't know why that. If it's an extension, then they're going to be live. We have to let them know that their phone is live, right?
I think they were two different lines though today. It seemed like, because you guys saw two different live lines, right?
But,
yeah,
yeah. But you see what I didn't understand is that I had both lines on air, and
mm-hmm.
And then,
disappeared.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Until I activated the second line, we couldn't hear her. But
right.
I was talking to her on that first line, but because they call in on another phone, it she was now on the new line, and then the old line was yeah okay.
Right.
Yeah,
I think she probably wasn't aware of the issue there of how what you had to do and decided
yeah,
well I better call
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
And other phone to so it'll be quieter or something.
Yeah, that's
right.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if they call in, they can hear. They'll be able to hear. I think I think some people think that, well, if I call in, I should also have it on the computer so I can hear myself, realizing that you can hear the whole program. Where as soon as you call and dial in, you're going to hear the whole show.
Right.
You don't have to have a separate. You don't have to have it open separately on your computer because that creates that sort of kind of feedback and
right.
Maybe I'm sure maybe her like you were saying her family wanted to listen in, and you can listen in as long as you're in another room.
Yeah.
So you can monitor it in another room as long as it's not the listener and the speaker are not in the same room because that's what creates that kind of
echo.
echo effect. Mm-hmm. And because I know I could hear Reverend Coyo speaking at one point, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, I can hear him again. And
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I
heard that too.
I heard myself too, and I said, what the?
Yeah, and that's where I was like, okay, somebody definitely is listening to it on the internet, and also has their listening or they have a headphone also on. So that immediately kind of solved that mystery. You know,
yeah, it was weird. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I mean, I noticed with some of the other programs when they do, they usually have a kind of a before they start the program, they have a just a basic kind of a. Just like a notation, they'll say, you know, welcome, you know, just to inform everybody, you know, like you normally do, Sensei, you would say, you know, all the lines are muted so that, you know, there is no background noise.
Mm-hmm,
you know, just general little tidbits before they start the show, so everybody's kind of, oh, okay, they understand, you know.
That's right.
You know, and also you could listen to us live either through, you know, the name site, through the you know, the player, or by calling in, and that way it kind of, you know, especially new people, because they're gonna they'll be like, well, which one do I hit? Do I hit play? Do I have to call?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
but from the Ning site, they don't even have the number there, so the player is the thing.
Yeah, I think it's good for. I mean, if people cannot listen online, I think that's when it's good to call in. But if you're just kind of listening, I think you should just direct. Everybody should just go to the Ning site. And that's going to cut down on all the different phone numbers on the switchboard.
Yeah, and I think that's what I think we're going to end up evolving to if we get a broader enough audience, which is the whole plan here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that it'd be good somehow to inform people. You know, if you're able to, you know, like for example, I actually like to listen through the internet instead of having the headphones on the whole time. Because I can sit back and I can, you know, just kind of listen and not have to, you know, have this big head thing on my, you know, putting pressure on my head. But if you're not able to, you know, somebody's like, you know, traveling or maybe they're, you know, for whatever reason, it's better for them to, you know, then they can call in. But most of the people I think will listen through the Ning site.
Okay.
I'm going to try to write something today on that and try to tweak in that box. I tried before and I didn't do it, but there was another area I can try to tweak in that box to give those instructions in a written form.
Okay.
Also, could you write up something that I could just standard say at the beginning that would cover all these things in a concise way, preferred method or with different situations, what to do?
Yes, maybe Sale. Maybe that would be your area of expertise, since you're the blog talk expert.
if you could just compose a short paragraph and email it to me, I can just say, you know, just read it every time, and that would give some good instructions to new callers in.
Yeah, it would just be like a little basic opening spiel that would kind of give a general, oh, okay. And then I can definitely come up with something kind of short, sweet, and to the point.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And how did the music come out okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, music was fine.
Yeah, a lot of the tapes were really good quality. I noticed this, with this particular song, for example, it had certain, again, that's the thing with tapes, is that the older they get, there's kind of like that sound, a little warping. And I can fix that as best as technology allows me to. But the tapes that Adrian Sun has sent me are of great quality. So a lot of the songs and the chants with Gyomei Sensei are amazing. And I'm hoping the quality, you know, I can try to keep it, you know, as good as possible. But I wanted to see how the sound, how the music was, and if it came, you know. For me, on my side, the MP3, it sounds great. I mean, it sounds like, you know, it was just composed the other day. But I didn't know how it came across on the website.
Yeah, it sounded good on the internet as well, because I try to listen just as a pure Ning viewer, you know, and it sounded really good.
Okay. And then were you able to get the bell, the calling bell?
No. You know what? I think we're going to have to discontinue the bells, because I didn't realize it, but all this time, even for the lay minister classes, when we hit the other bell, One time, last week, I was listening in another phone in another room, and that bell, because of the frequency of the sound, it sounds terrible. It doesn't sound like it sounds live. And so I go, I said, hey, this is not good. We've been doing this all this time.
It does have I remember it from our classes. It has sort of a Twilight Zone effect.
Yeah, so I said, no, that's not soothing. That's not, you know. So we'll just do, you know, a breathing for the opening and a gusho for the end and not use an opening or closing bell of any kind. And I remember one time Anderson said he used a Tibetan thing, and that really, it reverberated like crazy. So, no bells. I'm sorry. I love bells, but only live, I guess.
Oh, okay. That's so funny.
Yeah, I was telling Adrian I was playing with this. I know because I think it's the frequency is such a high pitch that it distorts, and it does. It creates a very kind of like, it's a very hurtful sound. So it's sometimes you're like, well, you know, let's be one with the sound, even if it's hurtful.
Yeah, that's
I was playing with the program I have, and there's a way to really cut down on that, to almost make not to make it so. It looks like if it's live, it really distorts the sound. If it's recorded at a lower frequency and with a lower pitch, you can make it more soothing, more like a gong. But again, it'd be something you could upload and then you could play. But I mean, that's again, if you don't want to deal with the bell, then that's fine. But I heard last week's show, I wasn't able to attend, but somebody had said if we recorded it, so I played around with that this week. And if you cut, it's the frequency. If you cut the frequency down, so it could be broadcasted over phone and internet, because the music we get right now, you know, again, if you don't really edit it, it even piano music will sound like the beating of drums, and it sounds, it could really hurt your ears. But if you cut the frequency down and bring down the tone and the pitch, it can have that kind of ding effect where without it, you know, shattering your brain. So if you'd like, I could send you guys an MP3 of it, and you can play in here. It's very subtle. It's nothing that's going to, you know, wake you up, but it's very soft and what I call internet friendly. So it's not like that cymbal crash in your ear.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, maybe. And if it's recorded, then if you wanted to do that, Reverend Coyle, you could hit that and then hit the music or whichever order.
Yeah, it'll be on that playlist on the files.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could actually do multiple. Technically, you could do multiple. Like, for example, you could have the low-level calling bell. Again, it would be very low. It's actually not that loud, because also the way I did it is, I recorded it with an external microphone, but from further away. So in other words, I let the sound slowly reach, the sound wave slowly reach the microphone, and by the time the sound waves made it to the microphone, they were more slow and not so crashing. It made it less, you know, the volume less, not so high. You can put multiple files to start with. So you could put the bells to start and then the music. So the bells will start, kind of like, you know, getting everybody to call in. And then right after that, the music will kind of go. So you wouldn't even have to come on until after the music.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, and that way it would be just soft, soothing, and it would fade right into the music that we're playing that week.
Sounds good.
But if you want, we could, I'll send you, like I said, it's a small MP3 file, so just kind of look for it at some point today, and then you just listen to it and see what you think. And if you want, we can just attach it to the beginning of the music.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Use your own judgment. If it sounds good, let's do it.
Okay.
Okay, is there anything else?
Okay, I'm all set in you guys want me to do something on the Ning site?
Let me go ahead and start to rename the shows, and then if it shows up on there, just send me an email saying okay, I'll check it. But if it doesn't, any ideas or suggestions, just kind of email me, and then I'll see what I can do with the Blog Talk Radio. If I can change, you know, whatever I need to do to change it, so it differentiates the different shows.
And I'll try to play around on the Ning site to see if I can add some little bit of a textual instruction on there so new people know what to do.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. on the chat on the Ning site, he says, "Hello, Wendy. I enjoy the talk after the show. He must be online."
Yeah, that's the real nitty gritty
yeah.
behind this. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very
much.
All right. Okay, good afternoon.
Bye.
Bye.